The end of Dragon Ball Daima has been confirmed, and finally, we see superhero DLC in Sparking Zero right here on today's episode.
Neto. Yeah, we're back, dude. Another week, another Daima.
All right, guys, welcome to Key Moments. What's up? There's been a lot of stuff. First off, Dotto, we did not address something last week. Not many people commented on it, and I'm not even remotely surprised, but the dub is out.
Yes, I actually just retweeted. I just saw. But the thing is, Nano, the dub is out, but only episode one, right?
Well, two as of today.
Episode two as of tomorrow, which for you listening might be whenever.
Yeah.
But the point being is three episodes released in theaters. Fully dubbed, so just another Dragon Ball dub L, unfortunately, even though it does sound really great. I saw a clip of Goku talking as a kid, and I can't wait to rewatch it in English.
I don't know if I'm in the mood to immediately rewatch this show. I'll probably watch episode 8, I'll watch Super Saiyan 3 Vegeta, and then I'll probably start maybe next week with the beginning of next week's episode, because we did just watch episode 14 of Daima Taboo, which you can check out. I click the link down below in the description, go to our Patreon to support us there, or just clicking join if you're on YouTube to check out all of our bonus content when you support us through one of those forums, like bonus podcasts, reactions, bonus gameplay thing, all kinds of things. And that episode was good. The episode was actually, today's episode was a lot better overall than last week's episode, for sure.
That was a very low bar. That bar was on the ground, bro.
I guess that brings me to a conversation that makes last week's episode even worse, is that at least it appears to be confirmed, because Hulu has sort of revealed their slate of Willy Gwynn shows are going to end, and one of them was Dragon Ball Daima, and the ending of Dragon Ball Daima is on February 28th. Which, if you do the math, would be episode 20 of the show. It is even titled Dragon Ball Daima Finale. So the series, if you include next week's episode starting episode 15, has 6 episodes left until it's over, which then makes last week's episode really, really weird. You know, I get some people's argument of the whole like adventure side of things. But when you're working with such a limited time, we already got so much adventure in the first half of this series. I don't know that we needed an entire episode dedicated to it. Like, I think there's just so many ways to balance these things, and you can do them a little bit better than I feel like they have done in some ways. And last week's episode is a prime example of, I think, not balancing the remaining time we have with this show, because it all goes away. February 28th, it all goes away. Unless you want to rewatch it and dub, we're back to having nothing, Dotto. We have no ongoing Dragon Ball anything again. So,
I mean, it's going to be a sad time. But yeah, I feel like one thing that I am going to have to start being harsher on, Nano, something you said is that we had so many adventure episodes. But to be honest, the adventure, like a big part of like Daima to a lot of people, especially during the controversy arc, is the adventure part and how people like focusing on that. I feel like we really only got a good like world building adventure in that first demon world, like journey, like that romp.
Yeah.
Like we saw stores, we saw how the people live, we saw all this going into world two. And one of our whole episodes was dedicated to just that planet Giga. Like really world two was just a bunch of water, and the squid, and then the Tamagami fight.
Oh, hang on. Was that Giga or was that Mega? And there was the one that was bigger that was Giga.
Oh, yeah, yes. Mega and is then that Giga.
Okay, yes. Yeah. We were on Mega. And then,
yeah, because they wouldn't have survived on Giga. They ain't like that, yeah, honestly. Yeah, okay, yeah. That's basically the whole reveal. But basically what I'm saying is I'm about to start docking points from the adventure aspect as well. Planet 2 was a pretty big like miss on the adventuring part, because I feel like we spent too much goddamn time at the tail end of Planet 1 faffing about when there was nothing new to gather. They basically, now that we know it's 20 episodes, we're definitely not going back to Planet One for any reason. Probably
no.
I hope maybe anyway.
Pansy,
yeah, at like the very end or something. But I just feel like it was a great like little adventure thing, and then we got that super nice Tamagami fight, and then I think we faffed around for way too much time. And I think part of that was just the groups taking forever to link up, seeing you know, Vegeta go through all the same things that Goku did, it's like, damn.
Never forget, like, when they circled back to only say, oh, you can't ride with us.
Fucking horrible, dude. That was actually, that episode pissed me off the most of any episode. At least the one on Planet Mega, you know, that was a cool, like, little adventure. It was way too filler. I'm going to be honest. For a 20-episode series, now that we know it's concluded, I already felt this way last week. Way too filler-esque. Especially when we'll get to in talking about this week, the one big plot event that happens completely doesn't matter in this week's episode. Completely done.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the show is losing adventure points now that we're officially in three, which I do think that three is going to get some stuff, and it's mostly going to be a fight. And, you know, we've already kind of seen it from R and Sue's perspective, but two was a wash on adventure. It was a complete wash, unless I'm forgetting something.
No, I mean, I would say the most adventure-esque thing they did was the what we just been talking about, the Planet Mega thing. I think the only time where they sort of did any type of exploration, you know, because we never visited Shin's home, because again, it's like apparently a wasteland and all of that. We visited Namek, but also a wasteland, or not Namek, but the Namekians' home in the second Demon Realm. But there's like, yeah, it definitely was missing the world building, like the whatever what you're talking about specifically from that first like 5-6 episodes before we got to the Tamagami fight post leaving Earth. So yeah, I don't know. It's been a very interesting, like, takeaway, which you could say this about so many series, but you take away Super Saiyan 3 Vegeta, and I just, like, I don't know. We got Ku, but again, that's not really related to being.
That's not second Demon World adventure. That's third Demon World adventure, or first, actually.
But man, Ku and.
But even that's more focused on the character.
Ku and Du are so cool. I'm sorry. I don't know. They did such a good job. These two, I love these two characters. These two characters were here in today's episode, and they were, minus that last little bit, they were definitely a highlight easily for me of this episode. Like, not even questionable. I don't know. I like these two a lot. But Donna, before we dive into the episode, any comments on the Sparking DLC? We have our first actual DLC. It probably would have came faster, but it probably was also just planned to coincide with the finale of their tournament that they're doing, that I haven't looked to see what they're doing now that Battle Hour isn't taking place. So now it's just kind of releasing here. I imagine you're excited. It's Beast Gohan, it's Orange Piccolo, it's the Gammas.
Yeah, that was a dumb question, bro. Am I excited? Yeah, bro. I'm excited to just to have that hype behind Sparking Zero again, and just to see the animation. I mean, not even to see the animation, just to play the characters. But yeah, you know, I think it's a pretty beefy DLC, all things considered. I don't think it looks great. But I was talking to you before the podcast. I definitely feel a little bit of that, like, conspiracy theory-esque, like I feel like they're holding the game back in some regards to not just blow Spark, like, the source material out of the water, just because it's based with 3D models as well. Still looks great, obviously, but I think they could have done so much more.
Okay. I mean, I think Spark, like, the Sparking versions of these characters, at least in stills, look like as good as their movie counterparts, like in stills, maybe not totally emotion. There are definitely always going to be weird frames in Sparking, because you're talking about a game with such a vast majority, like a vast roster and majority of characters and stuff. So there's just gonna be weird frames that you can posit on, but there are some pretty good, like, still moments for sure of these characters that look super impressive. I saw people were sad about three things is what I saw. And I honestly won't lie, I only thought of one of them while I was reacting to it, and that was no Pan. I thought there might be a Pan.
Wow.
Okay. I thought there might be a Pan. It really doesn't make or break for me specifically. I didn't really care. But you know what I did not think about that I saw people saying, like, oh, I can't believe they aren't here, is Gotenks. I didn't even think about Gotenks.
Oh, yeah. Well, to be honest, that's because he was a complete joke and a waste of space in that movie. But that is, I mean, okay. Unfortunate. Goten and Trunks, a little more of a miss than the Gotenks. Like, fat Goten. I mean, it would have been fun. I guess it would have been fun, but I'm going to be honest, Gotenks is like, that shit is like a piss me off element, bro. Like, I still hate that he just, oh, we fucked up the fusion again, haha. Well.
And then we get another ongoing thing, and they make them babies again.
yeah, I know.
Well, they wouldn't have been like teens here anyway, but yeah, they. Anyway,
the manga came through, though. You know, it started coming through a little bit.
Yeah. And then the one thing I saw people say, which, man, I guess Bandai just, they just won't be focusing on this on any of their games. They don't have their devs focus on this in their games, but no new stages.
Yeah, that is a pretty big, because you can easily get two good stages out of superheroes, like, thing, like the Red Ribbon Army and then, like, the destroyed Cell Max laboratory and stuff. You could probably squeeze out a lot. What is with the video games not doing stages anymore? I actually hate that.
Yeah, no, it's well, also, too, I mean, I think one of Sparking's biggest, like, probably mishaps are its lack of stages. There's really not many stages in this game.
Yeah, there's like 4 day and then 8 if you separate the day and night, which I definitely don't.
No, I mean, they're the same stages that have a different aesthetic. So, yeah, I genuinely, I guess because I've just have gotten so used to stuff not including stages that I didn't even mention stages. And there was lots of comments about it. And I was like, oh, yeah, stages. That's something they could have definitely gave us. And they didn't. I won't lie, Dotto. And maybe we'll have to get in game. We'll have to, like, you know, see. But was sad to see the only costume is the one for Piccolo, and since it's a new Gohan, I'm not gonna hold my breath that we get to put him in the black suit.
Which black suit?
Like the one from Buu Saga.
Oh no, definitely not. No shot.
I want that dude. It would look so sick.
No shot. I think yeah, it's kind of, you know what, they did include 3 custom battles, which I saw that and I was like, if they're just custom battles that they made like that and that's all they did, like if there's no voice acting, I'm going to be so upset even listed that as content.
That was another thing. I saw people were sad that there was no, what appears to be, there's no story. And I'm like, I guess to me, I wasn't even anticipating story with these DLC packs. Like, I'm not expecting the Daima DLC to have anything to, because, like, the way they handled story being specifically to the characters, I just didn't, in my mind, I didn't foresee them going back to Piccolo and Gohan's arcs and adding more missions. Did you?
I was kind of hoping they would do, like, because the what ifs were so good, even though they were mostly just good from, like, an idea perspective. Like, they had some, like, cutscenes, and especially with It's Been Long Enough, there's going to be a spoiler. Even though I haven't played it, I've seen it at this point. The Gohan Black, like, that to me was enough, like, customization-wise that I was like, oh, this has, like, some DLC potential.
I cannot, like, believe that's not in-game, by the way. I cannot believe they haven't made that playable.
Yeah, I just feel like I would want for DLC, like, I know they're just doing the characters at the bare minimum shit, but come on, bro. Like, stages, I feel like, should be there at a minimum as well. And then if you're gonna do more, you know, like, some actual story DLC would have been cool. But the thing is, being honest, the story mode in Sparking Zero is pretty lackluster anyway. It's not like the cutscenes are just in game, like,
it has,
like,
very,
you can
very
do them
highs
in,
and lows. As
it does, it does.
I will say, Dotto, and I said this when I was doing my playthrough, you can clearly tell, I'm assuming most of you guys played Sparking, but if you didn't, they do it character episodes, and so you choose a character and that you play their story, and specifically Piccolo. So Piccolo's story ends at, I want to say, Cell Saga. Piccolo's story is done at Cell Saga. There's nothing else to his story. He really needed the superhero DLC to be base game so that his story could at least have a little more meat and for you to do some of the superhero stuff and them to animate out some of the superhero stuff. So that, not like, and then same with Gohan. Gohan's obviously a little more like meatier, but it would have probably had a better, I mean, granted, they saved that substantially by giving us Gohan Black, like you just mentioned, but having the superhero arc would have added a lot to his total story. So I was just looking because I was curious. They've not released how much these are going to cost individually. You can buy the season pass for $35. I was just trying to look at, like, from a cost basis, like, does it feel a little scammy that we're not getting story stages, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I mean, if we didn't count all the forms, you're getting 5 characters here. You know, you split that 3 ways, it's a little under $12 a piece, which would make each character about $2 to $3.
Is this a... But the season pass is everything, right?
The season, like, pass, so the season pass is $34.99. It includes... The season pass includes the superhero DLC, the Dragon Ball Daima Part 1 DLC, and the Dragon Ball Daima Part 2 DLC. So you're getting 3 DLC packs that they... state here will include 20 plus characters. So, I mean, again, if we broke, I'm not doing the sparking thing where I'm counting, like, you know, Gohan counts as like four characters or something like that with this, or so, I think, right? Because he's got,
I think base. That's how most people would look at it, especially people spending money. They're not going to be like, oh, sick, that's 11 characters.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like five, right? It's Cell Max, Piccolo, Gamas, and Gohan. So it's five characters. You think that it's about $12 to buy it. So it's about $250 a character. That's not terrible, really, like in the grand scheme of things, but I'm also not someone that necessarily thinks they needed to be DLC. I mean, dog, Superhero was 2+ years old when this game launched. Superhero,
dude, that's like the curse of being the newest fucking thing in Dragon Ball, dude. It actually just sucks. You never want to be the newest thing because they're going to treat it like that's the reveal for the rest of their lives. Like, oh yeah, well, guess what? They're still revealing Beast Gohan after a 5-second pause of darkness, like he's sick. Like, yes, he is, but it's the same as 3 seconds of darkness before Super Saiyan 3 Goku, guy. Like, we get it. He's been here for years. Forever.
So, because I saw a couple of people that are like, man, this feels really money hungry. And not to turn this into an entire gaming podcast for the millionth time, but like, I think that you've seen an uptick in DLC and you see like all these microtransactions, all this shit, so that games can stay their $59.99 and their $69.99 and all of that. And that's how they're getting you to spend closer to that $100 on their game to make up for how expensive it is to make these games these days, because inflation is a bitch and it is what it is. So
I'm going to look up one.
But I do, sorry, you I can do go think on. Of all the things, I'm still very much so someone that I wanted to believe that Superhero was base. Like, Superhero is base. I actually had a comment that I responded to him. Someone said, wait, so still no Super 17? And I'm like, Super 17 in a Superhero pack? Like, what? Why would you even remotely expect to see Super 17 in a Dragon Ball Super Superhero pack? It makes no sense. Like, if you were waiting on Super 17 in that pack, I don't know what, like, genuinely, and not as a meme, like, I don't know what to tell you. Where were you looking at that?
Yeah, I just wanted to see how, like, that new Space Marine game was doing. I hadn't checked in on that in a while. And it mostly because
did really good. That game sold super it did. Well.
I just wanted to see, like, I feel like one big problem with Sparking Zero, especially on social media, I think it has many problems. One of them being that,
you didn't Steam charts it, right? It looks pretty bad.
Did it? Oh, no, I didn't.
It's like dipping under 2K now.
I think one of the biggest problems with Sparking Zero,
that matters, by the way. I really don't think that matters, that the people put too much weight onto that. Anyways, go ahead, Donald.
Well, I just think it's not a live service game. It's not something like that it does that with. But I do think that a majority of players, especially people that post and talk about stuff online, which again, this is a big majority of players, I just think they like that. Like, that's what they like. That's what they want to do. That's what they want to talk about. But this game isn't going to change anything massive. Nothing's going to be patched. There's not going to be like these big drops. And people are going to come and check out the DLC. I just don't think it's ever going to be. Sparking Zero is never, ever going to be the popular game to play. It's not going to have like a community like that. It's going to have a community. It's just going to be niche. And granted, not even that niche. I'm not even talking fighting game niche. I'm just talking like, I don't know. I don't think people are going to get the experience word, that they like, think it's going to be.
It's just where my brain goes to. It's not Fortnite.
It's not going to be Fortnite. It's not even going to be close.
It's not going to have live events.
It's not going to be Marvel Rivals.
Watch Godzilla ravage like a.
Yeah, it's not even going to be Marvel Rivals. I saw it because I've been seeing a lot of comments under Marvel Rivals like shorts. Like, man, remember when we thought Sparking Zero was going to do this? And I'm like, dude,
who thought it was going to do that? It's not a live service game, dog.
It's just like, but that's how people hyped it up and talk about it. And I get it. Also, another big problem, and I just want to get on my soapbox about this because I was trying to tell people this before the game came out. Good Sparking Zero play does not look or play like how people want good Sparking Zero play to look and play. Rhyme tweets about it a lot. Like everybody, in fact, every normal person, again, if you are a normal person and your Sparking Zero gameplay looks like the anime, congratulations, you're playing the game wrong. Like, the way you play this game is to gimmick and cheese and then do all the other stuff. Admittedly, this was way worse in the base patch, but I do think that is a very legitimate complaint. What I'm not trying to do is sit up here and say Spartan Zero is not super popular because it only because of this one thing. It definitely did do some stuff wrong. Just none of the stuff that I actually cared about. I would still stand by what I said about Spartan Zero when it came out. To me, it was shockingly good at being a Budokai Tenkaichi 3 again.
I mean, yeah, I think it did its job perfectly fine. Like, I have no qualms with this. But yes, I just.
But not, Nano.
What?
If I could say one more thing to the Bandai employees watching, yeah. Sparking Zero will never serve as a good a base as a fighter's game would. It's just not as competitive. The DLC isn't going to have the legs that a fighter's DLC would.
So that's where I was about to go with this. So I just in a video with Slay and Sauce spoke about this, and they both acted like I shouldn't be saying that, or the people are going to get really mad at me. And I'm like, I think most people agree with this take because you just said it. So I don't know if you ever got suggested the live streams when they were doing all the semifinals and all that stuff building up to what they're doing with Sparking at Battle Hour with, you know, their tournament they're holding. But I would sometimes click into them and watch them for a second. And I was like, dog, this game is just like not fun to watch. Like at least with someone playing with the intention that they are trying to win a tournament. They're not playing to have fun. You know, maybe they are a little bit, but like for the most part, their intention is they want to.
Well, winning is fun, yeah.
Winning is fun, yes, but like they want to win at all costs. And I get yes. Most of us want to win at all costs, but it comes at a price of it just is not interesting to watch. Like, and I left it on. I was trying to give it a chance. If anything, I was just watching because I was like, man, I need to watch some good gameplay to like get back to this game. This was like what, a few weeks ago, a month ago now, or something like that. But anyway, and I'm just like, dog, like this game is just like not fun to watch. And my comparison to them was, and I hate bringing it back to this, but you just said it too. Like, I would tune into the fighters tournaments all the time. Even the ones that weren't like the big tournaments, like I would just watch, you know, like Lotus is going live to like cover or react to them. I'm like, I would just tune in to watch because Fighters is just a fun game to watch at a very high level or not. Like, it's just, there's so much more entertaining to watch two people go at it in Dragon Ball Fighters than it is in Sparking at a high level. Just 100%. It's not even,
I don't even think it's biased or anything like that. I literally just think,
it's more understandable too. Like from a,
it's more understandable. It's like easier
sports.
To watch.
It's like watching sports. Yeah. Like you can sit down and watch a football game and you know what's going on pretty quick. Even if you don't know what's going on, you know what I mean? Like it's fairly simple to understand.
You get, they don't want them to move the ball that way. And they do.
Yeah. It's kind of like that.
But yeah, I just fully agree with that take. I do think that what they said, it probably isn't popular because more people like arena fighters, like more people are decent at them. Which, dude, the next gaming podcast, I want to lay in to a certain group of people so fucking bad, dude. Okay. I hate casual gamers. Idiots is what they actually are. You have to be an idiot to think this way. I'm sorry, but it's true. But and this is also another thing that's happening with Rivals, dude, is people like, pro players will drop their takes. And again, pro play, dude, you ever seen that curve of like, what's it called? Like people that are really smart tend to doubt their abilities, where people that are really dumb tend to overestimate themselves. That happens so often in gaming. I thought it was a fighting game thing until Rivals. It's like, I think at the highest level, and again, this is my opinion. I'm sorry. This could be proven wrong. It's my opinion. Mr. Fantastic is rather weak and his ultimate is not that good. And then some fucking silver player will drop a screenshot of them going 25-5 against bots. Maybe, who knows? It's like, I don't think so, bro. It's like, what is this? You think you going 25-5 against potential AI proves anything? Anyway, that was my rant. I had to get it out of my chest. I fucking hate that so much. That actually triggers the shit out of me. But yes, back to Fighters. Dude, Bandai, you messed up. Fighters was such a good billboard. You do a Battle Hour event, you do anything, and you just drop like a, oh, we're going to have a DLC announcement at the end of this event. The eyes on that event, it just, like, it goes up. That's with any announcement, but I feel like Fighters, and this could be bias, was just, like, the perfect carrot on a stick. It was perfect. It was, like, a good little eye show. It was competitive. Oh, so good, dude. It was so good.
It is weird. Like, I remember, I don't know what I'm saying this, like, but when they just announced the EVO lineup, like, what, 3-4 days ago, a part of me wanted to see Fighter, like, not a part of me, a lot of me, and I knew it wasn't going to be there, but I just wanted it to be there. Because it's just such a fun game to watch. Like, I imagine there are so many people that watch that game that do not even care about Dragon Ball at all because they just, like, Fighters is such a fun game to watch people. I don't know. That game is truly special. I should have played it way more. I mean, I still could, but... Did you check out the patch, the 365, like, mod or whatever? Did you check that out at all?
No. I don't even know. Oh, you mean, like, bringing it back to the old version?
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest. Maybe I'm outside the Fighters realm on this. I don't even feel that way towards the game that a lot of people do. I don't think it ever got necessarily worse at any certain point. I don't think, especially not bad enough that I'm nostalgic for anything, you know?
Got it. Okay.
So not my cup of tea, honestly.
Can we bridge one final thing since we're talking Dragon Ball gaming before we talk about today's episode?
Okay.
Did you see the Breakers news?
Nope. But what was the Breakers news?
So they dropped a little like producer type letter basically, and it had a roadmap. Not
Breaker. Oh, you said Breakers, right?
I did say Breakers. Yeah. So you did.
Okay.
See it.
Yes, I did see this, and yeah, go ahead, bro. Deliver the news.
So if you're a Breakers player, and even if you're not, this is still, I guess, semi interesting. Dragon Ball Breakers, an asymmetric 7v1 Dragon Ball game where someone plays the villain and seven people don't actually play characters from Dragon Ball. They play humans that can possess the powers of characters from Dragon Ball from time to time. Typically gets updates every 4-ish months, and it's still going to get some updates, but that usually includes a raider, aka the bad guy, and then also new characters and new moves. And the remainder of this entire year, 2025, according to their roadmap, there's only one new raider coming out for the entire year. They're going to rework three raiders. Not totally sure what that means. People have been assuming that the one that we're going to get after the anniversary will be Golden Frieza. And so that would probably be a rework. And what made me think of this is because you were talking about being nostalgic. Depending on what a rework means and if they change how Frieza works, and Frieza is now like a DBS Frieza that doesn't have like Zarbon and Dodori attached to him, like that's going to kind of... Not that I play Breakers a ton, it's going to make me a little bit nostalgic if you can't play that version of Frieza anymore because they reworked it into a Golden Frieza.
Yeah, I don't know how I'd feel about that, but I just mostly saw that there was going to be one new one. It's like, dude, what the fuck?
Yeah, but not only that, just one new one and only like a handful of transfers, which means a handful of new characters and new skills, which like typically, like again, I'm not the biggest Breakers guy, so this is more of like an Iron Kane type thing you can comment on this, but typically there's like multiple different new skills, new transformations, etc., that come out like over the course of the entire season, not just one or two, like multiple per month. And I told them the writing was on the wall when the second anniversary didn't introduce a new map. Dude, apparently they're so stingy on these maps, Dotto. Didn't introduce a new map, barely introduced any new it didn't introduce a single new transfer, just a new skill for Beast Gohan. So much superhero shit lately. Like, I was like, dude, I think the writing's on the wall, brother. Like, this game is not in a good state. And then, like, they got hope because they came out and it confirmed there was at least going to be another season. And now the another season is not a new anything. It's just a rework of a raider and I think one new transfer. That's, like, they're supposed to sustain people for 4 months, Dotto.
It is over. It is, in fact, over.
And no new raider for that anniversary, Dotto. There's going to be the third anniversary would be, like, in October, November. And according to their roadmap, there will not be anything new for that. So
yeah, I mean it's completely over.
It is done. I gotta get the plat on that game before it shuts down.
Yeah, I better start.
Yeah. That's gonna be an unattainable platinum sooner than later because they might leave it up for a while, but I mean it'll become it's already pretty dead anyway, and like they don't do updates, it'll get real dead. You'll be sitting in queues for forever to try to find.
Unless you queue in with people, yeah, no, you're cooked.
It makes me sad. I really enjoy... I don't think people believe me when I say this. I enjoy Breakers. Like, it's a nice change of pace from your typical Dragon Ball stuff. So
I think it's a fun concept that... it was just never going to be popular. It was just never going to be popular. I literally...
Yeah.
And we've talked about this. I hate that people try to, like... Oh, I want a laser tag game with the Dragon Ball franchise. No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. Who are you? You're not. Why are you lying to these poor billion-dollar companies? You're going to make them lose money.
I still think a Devil May Cry style game as Trunks would do well.
Well, a single player?
Yeah.
Okay, if you can make anything once, I say that about YouTube videos, probably a little less stakes than a AAA game, but I actually would agree if you're just going to take like a Dragon Ball thing. I think the one thing stopping that is that's too creative, and ain't no way you getting a creative Dragon Ball game, brother. Dude, I mean...
Sato, I can't remember who I was talking to, but they asked if they, you know, this is one of my IRL friends, and they're just like, so anything new Dragon Ball this year? I'm like, actually, yes. I was like, maybe there'll be something else too. Like, you know, you just never know with the Dragon Ball IP. Like, they used to pump out 2 games a year. And he's like, oh, well then what is it though? And I'm like, we're getting the MOBA. The MOBA should be coming out this year. And he's like, oh, I don't count that. I'm like, what the fuck? Why don't you count that? Like, it, like, Project Multi is probably gonna be one of the better Dragon Ball games ever made. as long as the bot shit is like sorted out and we are getting consistent characters. It's gonna be so important. That game gets consistent character drops. That is just so important for a MOBA building.
I mean,
the thing is,
I love Multi. I'm so excited. It's cooked anyway, dude. They're not going to release costumes. They're going to make no money because they're going to sell stupid fucking... Nobody's going to listen to Nano. The future's set in stone. Nothing will change. It's so cooked already. So I'm going to fully enjoy Multi for the 6 months we're going to have it.
No, dude, don't say that.
It's over. It's dead. They're not going to do costumes.
Dude,
they won't.
Right, hang on. I hate the shit on Breakers. But if Breakers can make it through 2 years, Project Multi, a free-to-play game that's going to be available on phones and PCs and potentially consoles, will make it at least 2 years as well.
I hope so.
If Breakers can do it, I believe... A free to play, actual fighting game. By the way, it's an actual fighting
game.
Fighting. That
is true. That does help. That does help.
Whereas in Breakers, you're just running away. There's not much fighting to Breakers. Like I believe if Breakers can do it, then Project Multi can last at least 2 years. And if that game, if I get it 2 years with a live service, an actual live service, Dragon Ball MOBA, you know what? I'll count it as a W, and I'll forever I'll remember that one. You know what I mean?
The one thing it has going for it is it's going to be gacha, so people will have to spend a lot of money.
Oh my god, dude.
They're going to need to, because nobody's dropping fucking 20 V-Bucks on a fucking Krillin police officer outfit. I hate to tell you.
We could come up with what they can probably do for costumes in about 5 minutes, and then we're like...
Exactly! They'll be cooked!
They're going to have to purposely put them in the most basic of their outfits just so they can sell you on, like, battle-damaged Goku, which, by the way, is one of the ones they did, and they counted as legendary. To play Super Saiyan Goku in his battle-damaged form from Planet Namek... literally like was a legendary like pull off the gacha. It's absolutely insane. Anyways,
I fucking hate anime games.
Let's discuss today's episode 14 Taboo of Daima. I will be real, in terms of an episode recap, there was a decent amount happened in this episode, but at the same time, like the cliff notes you can go through pretty quickly. The important one here. Oh, sorry, Dada, did you want to start us off?
No, go ahead. I was just going to say, kill it, bro. You can do this in one shot.
You alluded to it, but, you know, in episode 13, the primary thing that we walked away from in last week's episode of the podcast was if there was anything we take away from this, what we considered from, you know, a key moments, like stamp of filler approval. We called that filler, but not like jokingly, like actually filler. You could skip that episode. So for all you dub watchers out there, you can skip that one if you want to. Anyway, they didn't drop it in one mass. They could have just dropped all the episodes and be totally caught up. We could have watched today's episode in dub, but they chose not to do that.
That would have been awesome.
Wouldn't that have been so sick, dude? That's what they should have done. And people are like, well, they wouldn't do that because then they couldn't get your subscription for the next, 3 months. And it's like, okay, but, dog, it would get so many more people excited and build the community out. And anyway, you could skip that one even more so now after this week, because the only thing that happened was they shut down Warp Summit, if somehow you're not watching Diamond, you're just listening to us. Warp Summit is how they travel through the three demon realms, because they there used to be holes that allowed you to go through to the different demon realms, and they had to close them off because it too much free travel, you know, so you had to go through these Warp Summits, shut them down. Well, guess what Neva, however you say it, does today. He completely opens the portals. So now the holes that have been shut and Goku got electrocuted from touching it today, he just casually opens them back up. So there's free travel through the third, second, and first demon realm. And our main characters are officially in the first demon realm where Goma is. That's really the main plot of this episode. That's like the big takeaway. We also got, which Dotto, did you see this? How did you call this in our reaction? You started talking about the Ginyu Force, and then we immediately get the most, we have that at home Ginyu Force thing I've ever seen.
To be fair, I went to, and this is the only point in this episode I'm going to say, I went to the Florida Comic Con today, and I met the English voice actor for Ginyu and had him sign a poster, Nano. So that's why I was talking about it. Check these out. And the voice actor for Beerus, also nice. But check him out. Pretty sick. I even got him signed to Dotto so that I could show without docs. But yeah, no, go ahead.
About just calling you your real name.
People do know my real name, so it wouldn't have been that big of a deal. But yeah, I was just, yeah, you know,
please don't call me Tyler, by the way. People don't
sign
know
it to Dotto. Yeah, no, I mean, I wouldn't. Thanks, AKA man. Nanogenics.
Thank you. But we do get introduced to a Gendamari version of the Ginyu Force. Like, truly, they were definitely something. My favorite part of those characters specifically is that they do go to a Goma Mart. It's crazy. I guess when you're the king of the demon realm, you get to put your like logo on everything. So it's just a market of sorts. And Ku and Du are in there buying chocolate. And like the elite Gendamari crew walks in, offers to buy them all this chocolate, and then they have no money, so they can't do it. But we did get to see Kuin doing this. They were at the market trying to buy some chocolates. So that was sick. And we maybe saw Glorio do some shenanigans with the Dragon Balls, because Dotto put down hopefully our final plane crash.
Yep, this is it. I think this is the final plane crash. So honestly, stand up and fucking salute to a moment of silence for possibly the longest running plot device of all time. The plane crashing, truly the greatest adventure of our time. Thank you for your service.
I'm just glad it's done, hopefully.
And it went down in a ball of fucking fire. Yeah, too. So like
we're here. Hopefully we have no reason to get another plane and have it crash under any circumstance at all. If that was supposed to be a bit, it didn't land for me. I was pretty over the plane stuff. But as they're jumping out, the only two left on the plane are Hybus and Glorio, because again, they've entered the first demon realm from the hole that was previously sealed and that Neva opened for us. And the plane can't handle, I guess, the heat, because it's really hot in the first demon realm, especially up in the sky, because you're closer to the sun, I believe is what Glorio said. And so Hybus jumps out, and then Glorio jumps out, and there could absolutely be some like shenanigans that happened with the Dragon Balls there, because again, Glorio is working for Arinsu to hopefully steal the other two Dragon Balls that Arinsu doesn't have. But other than that, that's about the gist of it. The episode actually ends with the crew literally in the first demon realm being shot at and running from the Gendamari. So
yeah, this is the beginning of the end episode, basically. It better be, but it that's what it feels like.
Is there anything you feel like I missed that is of note here? I don't
gonna be honest. You could have just said the walls came down and they flew in and the plane crashed and that was about it.
But it was a good episode.
Yeah, it was fine. You know, it was it didn't take much to pass the last one, and they did. I'm still wondering why they introduced this bootleg Ginyu Force. They did play opposite Du and Ku, and that got a little smile out of me, maybe even a chuckle or two. So, you know, already putting up a higher score count than Hybus.
And before Hybus ends up being like your favorite, he does something really sick, and you're just like, oh,
the next isn't the next episode called Evil Eye or Watchful Eye? I'm looking it up.
The Third Eye.
Third Eye, yeah. So
next week's preview does show off a Deborah is what it appears to be. So next week's episode is called Third Eye. Definitely a lot of action in this one, presumably showing not much of anything. And we do see Deborah with his hand out and a key. And the episode is literally called Third Eye. So if Goma has a final form, we will maybe see it next week. This is definitely, I would say, like, to put out a PSA here and also hopefully for Dotto and I as well, next week is a definite stay off the internet till you see the episode, probably.
If I would say so, yes. I would say so. And honestly, I would issue a weather alert to maybe just do that for the rest of the series. We are entering choppy waters, the likes of which we have never seen. The plane is out of the picture, folks. The plane is out of the picture, meaning the world is our oyster. And I'm excited. I'm excited. But that's really it. I mean, there's... Yeah, that's it. That's all that happened.
There isn't too much more to talk about with the episode. We do have book club here really quick. We've got Ratty with not Glorio's moments with the gang. Definitely got to lead up to something. He's definitely going to have a crucial moment around the end where he somewhat betrays Aurin Sue.
Absolutely. I'll just go ahead and jump on this one, Ratty. That is, I do think that we talked about this, I think, in the episode reaction or maybe at the beginning of this podcast. Poor memory. But honestly, after this episode, flipping the switch on Portal Sama, it's like barely matters now. So, yes, other than that, that was all we got. I do feel like Glorio was never that.
I forgot. You're talking about Glorio maybe acting like he kind of liked the crew, right?
Yeah. Like we never really saw him got too buddy buddy with these guys, but the closest we got was definitely in the forest. So yes, I would put the deed to my house on. Yes, Glorio's going to have I was on a mission, but you know, and then on, if I had to put money, if I had to say exactly how it's going to go, he's going to betray the group. Then he's going to like feel bad about it. And then he's going to be like, I kind of still think he's going to die, but he's going to like have he's going to have a face turn. He's going to be like, you know what? The demon world needs you guys. And then, you know, maybe he gets shot in the back by Ku. What if, dude, that actually Dragon Ball Diamond, if it locked the fuck in, this is like cringe fan writing. But if Dew and Ku get revealed to just be like, yeah, they're nice guys, but also they take orders from a monster and they're the ones that kill him, that would go crazy, dude.
I don't think that's that bad. We're actually going to get to some a fan thing in a second that is probably considered way worse. I don't think that's that bad, actually. I could see that being like a very emotional moment. I did want to ask you while we're here, because we definitely believe this at the beginning. I'm not totally on board with this 100% anymore. Do we think Glorio has like a final form, like a different form?
Hell no. He has shown his card one too many times. He has been too shocked for too long. Yeah. He's cooked.
Yeah, I think Glorio is Glorio. Hamza says, I can't wait. These are on Patreon, by the way. We did pull these from our Patreon. You can become members again by clicking the link down below in the description or go to patreon.com/keymoments. But Hamza says, I can't wait for the plane to crash again.
He probably got hype. He probably got more hype than we did on this episode.
For the last time. All right, Dotto, hit us with this next one from Jack, man. This one's exclusively for
Jack,
you.
Jack, BMH. I remember Dotto saying the last episode was so hype, he would even be down for the ship to crash again. Okay, but when push came to shove, I wasn't. So I'm a fucking liar, dude. That ship went down again, I knew I was cooked.
You are on record after that Vegeta aura farming saying, like, you were down for 3 episodes of pure filler. You said that.
Dude, I did. But if you think about it, we took that week break afterwards, so that counts, obviously. And then we came back and the ship crashed. And then, I'll be honest, I was wrong. The ship crashed and I was begging and screaming to let me go. And then the ship crashed again. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. But it's over. There's no way it comes back anymore.
Yeah, no way. All right. The real Selza says, Nano's so lucky he didn't get caught in the crossfire, even though him and Dotto got the exact same take. It depends on what you're talking about, but I think you're actually referring to his... Specifically what got Dotto in so much heat was him starting an episode of Key Moments, saying...
Nano was at 2 stars, and then I said the word filler, and then I went up the straight 5 stars.
Yeah, I was not 100% with him on that. I even tried. I tried getting the like.
He tried
there for
to
the
make
people
me
that
walk
were missing
it back.
Media literacy. I go, he is kidding, but no one believed me, bro. Like
he tried to make me walk it back. He tried to make me add some cushion to the take, so but the if, take just if came out.
That's what you're referring to. There was no crossfire. I did step in the way for a second, and then when Dotto went back down, I said, "All right, you can have him, bro." Like. He's all yours. And
just a mistake is all.
The last book club of this week is they tag stamped the moment where I brought up to Dotto the preview that was this week, which is Goku falling down. Goku falls down after he tries touching the barrier, which does shock him, which then is what spawns Neva to go ahead and just open them all up. But when the falling, I made a joke that, you know, what if da, 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 you know, and he went UI. And they say, this is why people make fun of us Dragon Ball fans. Dog, we're just if you can't have fun, if you can't embrace what is modern Dragon Ball, like,
yeah. I forgot you made that joke. And literally when he was falling, I made the same joke. I said he's going to touch the barrier and go Demon Super Saiyan 4.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Last book club. Not last book club, but last thing to say here, and I invite you guys to join in. This is your book club moment, you guys. And if there are leaks out there, don't use them. And if you know, then just disregard. Do you think a Super Saiyan 4 form at all is happening, or is that completely cooked? I am on board. I'm on board to say I think that's cooked. I think that I believe, unless Dotto knows something over here as I'm yapping, and he's probably giving you like guys looks. I believe the most hype thing that we can get, if you're looking for like something crazy to happen in the series, is an SSA 3 Vegito. I think we see SSA 3 Vegito.
That would be so fucking lame, dude. It would be cool. It would be cool, but damn, dude. Fusion bug is what's going to happen.
Wait, okay, hey, let me ask you this, Dotto. If it was, actually, you might choose this. I know which one I'm picking. So if you were presented with two pills, one pill was you get the Goku and Shin fusion, or one pill is you get Vegito, but they go Super Saiyan 3. Which one are you choosing? I know what I'm choosing.
I'm
choosing SSA 3 Vegito. Like,
easily. I don't even know.
You guys are welcome to do that too. Yeah, book club is open. As you guys notice, book club is open to anything. I love you guys interacting with the podcast and in any way possible. But if you want to join in on book club, I will look forward to your book
thing.
Club
the thing is, I do want the Goku and Shin fusion. I just don't know if I want that as the finale. But like, that's kind of like,
you can only pick one. You don't get to have.
Yeah,
multiple.
I guess I would go with Super Saiyan 3 Vegito, but I don't know. Maybe that's not even true. Maybe I would go with the fusion just to have a little different, like something different, you know. But maybe it would be Vegito. Like, it is Buu Saga themed, you know.
There may not be Goku Vegeta fusion. Like, that really might not be on the table. It really might just be a Shin Goku fusion, but I don't know. You know,
yeah.
What are the rules on Potara, though? Aren't they supposed to be, even though I know it's not Fusion Dance, Fusion Dance, you have to be, like, same power level, all of that. Like, that's the you know, the key thing with that. But with Potara, I guess that's not a rule, huh? Like, Shin,
yeah, you know what? I don't think Vegito's possible, because Vegito, Super Saiyan 3 Vegito without the earrings would just be... I feel like the earrings are a big part of Vegito.
Oh, no, I'm still under the understanding. I know that the bugs will be used. I still think Shin has the earrings there with him as a plot device. I'm still totally convinced that the earrings get used.
Okay.
That's why. I think we will see multiple fusions. I just don't know who will actually like end up eating the bug. I don't know. I mean, we're going to see them. There's no way on episode 6 or whatever it was where they focus on the fusion bugs that they don't actually use them somewhere. That would be absurd. That'd be, man. Anyways, Otto, I think it is time to do what we do every week, and that is give this episode a rating. As a reminder, I'll just go back two episodes for you guys. We give episode 12, which is the SSJ 3 Vegeta episode, a Kaioten. We both gave him Kaiotens. Only ever been given out three times in the history of this podcast of ongoing for over a year now. Episode 13, Dotto gave a 5. I gave a 7. I am not going to change it. We talked about this in the bonus. I wanted to. Dotto said on behalf of the Key Moments ranking... Twitter account, I'm not going to change it, but I really want to, with the context that we don't have 20 episodes, because while I did enjoy it in the moment, if I would have had that context last week of, man, we really only have until episode 20, I would have probably given it a 5, at best a 6, which is what sucks about this week, because now that has skewed my sort of Daima scale a little bit. But I'm ready to give the score, if you are.
Me too. Yeah, I'm the hold up guy.
Okay,
right.
I think you did last week, but it doesn't matter to me. All right.
Oh, shit.
You ready? I'm going to say it.
Yeah.
7.
I also said 7.
Yeah. This episode was definitely better than last week's. So that's why I kind of hate that they are like same. I'd be contradicting a little bit. I still enjoyed last week's. It's a limited series, man. It's not a week to week. We don't get weekly Dragon Ball in like 6 weeks, man. Like, that actually sucks. That sucks. Like, I can't lie.
Well, hold on. We still get the finale. Don't get all sad before we even get happy, bro. Because to be honest, I'm giving this one a 7. This is like a light 7. It's not that light, but like a big portion of the episode was was never like chanting the chant.
That was a long section of the episode,
it was a
actually.
Long fucking chant, dog. Like, but the portals are open, and then we got two reaction shots of like the two different characters, like the wind, and then seeing it, and then like, so there was a lot of downtime, but it is cool, and it is the beginning of the end. So I think them all falling in is like gonna be consistent. Like, it's gonna get cooler the more and more. Like, if this battle's just on site and this shit just stays like fucking explosions and shit going off everywhere, then this is like the perfect episode, dude. Just to like ramp into that. So I'm giving it a 7 because I think, again, we said this before, Nano, and we were right when we said, like, I think it's gonna get good, like, real fucking quick. It's gonna get good in this one. I feel like some tens are about to start hitting the board. Like, we are gonna see.
I feel like what you're building up to here is saying that you think like 15 through 20 might be like all nines and tens.
I'm pitching the idea that we might, in these six episodes, I would say a minimum, and this is per person, 3 tens are gonna come out. There's no shot. Okay. There's zero way we walk away, and there's not
way. That is so
3 10s. I'm expecting three. In these last six episodes, if we can't get 3 10s, then fucking put me on the hater train, bro. I've been on the fan train, except maybe I wasn't. But put me on the hater train. I will actually conduct the fucking hater train if I don't get 3 10s out of this shit. Like, I'm really expecting it.
So you think that there are 3 episodes? Hang on. Let me ask you this. What about a Kaioten? Do you think there's a singular Kaioten left?
I'm going to go ahead. Fuck, dude. This is ultimate glaze, but I'm going to say yes. I'm expecting 1 Kaioten, but that does count as a third, like three. I'm not saying 3 10s and a Kaioten.
Okay.
But I am saying a Kaioten and then 2 normal tens.
So you're expecting literally at least 3 more episodes, 8 and 12, essentially.
I'm expecting, yes, 3 more Super Saiyan 3 Vegeta ass episodes, yes.
Okay.
But even better.
Okay. You think that, you think
so maybe
that,
I should, oh my God.
I was going to say, so you think that the Kaioten you're about to give out in one of these 6 episodes actually would diminish the Kaioten?
I think it would strip the last one of the Kaioten, okay. Yeah, if that was possible, I think it would just take it.
No, I'm with you. As much as I obviously do like SSA 3 Vegeta, I suspect there is some heat in here. I suspect I will not be on the internet. I suspect I'll be texting you as soon as this episode drops that we need to be like, we need to be at the PCs. We need to be doing that shit. Cause like, yeah, I think next week is going to be, yeah, no, I'm with you.
I think next week is still going to be like a little, well, it is called the Evil Eye, but then that means Hybus is going to be involved. Third Eye. Yeah. So I don't know why I keep saying, that's because that's Dondadon.
The shot of Deborah is sick, by the way. He looks really cool in this shot of the preview for next week, but
it's going to be good. I don't think next week is going to be a 10. I think it has potential to be one, which is nice. You know, it's nice to have potential. But yeah, I'm expecting great things from Daima starting now.
Hell yeah.
And if it's not, I'm going to be so pissed. I'm going to be this. Honestly, Neto, we've had an upbeat attitude for most of these five. It could go real sour real quick, dude. It could get fucking sad in here real quick if this shit don't start like...
I just want to put this out here because I don't think it'll happen. What do you think? How high of the chances do you think that we wrap up the entire adventure within like 2 episodes and the last 4 are like... slice of life.
No,
like,
absolutely 0% chance. And if that happens, I'm screaming, dude. If imagine we wrap up the adventure in 2 and the next 4 aren't even like connected to the series, they're just like Son Goku and Friend Specials. It's like,
it's the part of Battle of Gods that we think is not that great on rewatch. I always say that because, and the only reason I haven't even bringing it up is because what's so weird about this show is, and again, I swear to God, people think I'm crazy for saying this, but the pacing is all over the place because you'll have episodes like episode 8 where it's a fight against Tamagami 3, but then also tons of like things happen in the second episode, stuff that would have taken it 2 or 3 episodes before to happen. And then you go back down to where it's like, okay, not much. And then in episode 12, we got Ku and Do fight Tamagami 1 and win. Vegeta goes SSA 3, fights Tamagami 2 and wins, like all in one episode. So I'm like, if they decide to actually really progress the story, unironically, unless there's still, I think there's still going to at least be one or two twists that we just cannot see coming. But without those things, they could probably do everything they need to do within like two episodes at the pacing that they've done on episodes 8 and 12 in the past. So I don't think there's a world where that happens, but like I think we're in the timeline 3-10s and there's no world. I think they'll do what they do with, this is just me. I think they'll do what they do with Super, where Super, maybe I wasn't looking in insider stuff. I didn't know the Super was ending when we watched the finale. I had no idea that it was going off, and then we weren't getting a series back until Daima. And like that series, unless I'm misremembering, the same episode where we see them all on the yacht is also the same episode where Goku and Frieza and 17 knock Jiren out, right? That's all the same episode, isn't it?
Maybe. It's been so long, I can't remember.
So the reason why I'm saying this is because I think this will be full, like you said, all gas, no breaks, literally until the very end. Like, there will be no slowdown or anything, because it'll just be like, all right, guys, well, we're back to normal, and now it's over. It's done. Like we're
time to go home.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's this episode. Episode 131. They knock, that series is crazy. That same episode, they knock Jiren out in the first half. 17 gets his wish, brings everyone back. Goku and Vegeta meet in their original spot or whatever, their canyon, and then the series ends. That 20 minute episode, we see the end of TOP, wishing everyone back. Goku and Vegeta going and sparring in the old spot. Like, all that happens in one episode. So yeah, I think they'll treat Daima the same way. It's almost like a YouTube video. You know, when you get to the end, you just kind of like end. That's just kind of like what this series will do. Almost like this podcast.